Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, just returned from Argentina in Buenos Aires for the announcements and observations of the new president, Javier Milei, a libertarian, a man who campaigned with a chainsaw and is now following through on that, what you'd have to say, metaphorical presentation by cutting off ministries that have long practiced statism in Buenos Aires, hence the imbalance in the books, the owing of debts that are forgiven every few decades. Now Javier Milei is taking an extreme approach by closing ministries in order to fight inflation. And we have good news. Argentina inflation, says Reuters, the world's highest, slows down in a boost for Milei. Now, slowing down is a relative term. It's gone from something that I keep remembering was about 200% to under 100%. I can't be any more exact than that. It's a moving story. But I'm seeing a photograph at Reuters taken most recently in January, and the price of fruit was outrageously high. And so what we have here is anything looks like a good direction. Professor, when you returned from Buenos Aires, I recall very clearly you said that Milei had 3 months, and I thought, my, that's not enough. If you're a baseball player, you need more than 3 months to show what you can do. Is this an indication that he's going to have that 3 months, bringing it under 100%?
Well, it's certainly a very good sign, John. And from the very beginning in his inaugural speech, Milei was clear that what he'd campaigned on, the need for shock therapy to cut the size of government to move towards more responsible spending, as well as financial policies, was what Argentina needed fundamentally to be able to recover and not more social spending, et cetera. And so, Milei has done those things with imposing tremendous additional pain on the Argentine people in the level of the streets, about which much has been written. But in terms of the fundamentals, Milei, as an economist, has made some very arguably solid decisions that have been lauded by the International Monetary Fund and their interim reviews and other things. That has meant he has dramatically cut government spending, even producing the first government month-to-month surplus, I believe, in January in years. In addition to that, of course, he has gotten the currency situation. He has actually begun to rebuild Argentina's reserves, which were literally almost $10 billion into the red, giving some monetary stability. And so now, of course, he was forced to dramatically slash the value of the peso from about 300 and some to again, it was about a 50% devaluation. That devaluation made a lot of foreign imports much more expensive, which caused a leap in already high inflation to a rate which was running about 26% per month in January. And again, that makes the prices of things for some of the poorest, things like food, enormously expensive, as you alluded to. The issue then was, could those policies with Milei of cutting spending, et cetera, could this begin to stabilize the inflationary situation and avoid a run on the currency? And so I think what we've seen is that those policies have been bearing fruit even more rapidly than one expected, in part through the curtailing of consumer and other spending, which is how economists would tell you that you bring inflation down. You get the demand for the money down, and so the money stops the prices stop increasing. So the inflation figures are expected to be 15% this month. They're actually down to 13%, which is well within the target of the essentially 10% or less per month that many say is really kind of where the economy economy needs to be able to set the stage for growth in investment and in other things and to alleviate the pressure. Now, that's even more remarkable given that this current month at the beginning of March is notably when a lot of price increases kick in. And so Malay had ended subsidies for public transportation, for public utilities. Also, March is the time when parents have to pay the first installment of this year's essentially private school bill, given that just about everybody sends their kids to private schools if they have the money. And so in that context, all of these bills and higher bills coming in, the fact that despite all of that, inflation is not that bad. That's all good news. Again, the pressure now for Malay is that you're basically keeping at bay those whose frustrations over having their jobs cut or prices at the encouragement of the previous Peronist political caste want to get out into the street and essentially shut down the economy as a way of pressuring Malay or limiting his reforms. And so it remains to be seen whether Malay will have the authorities and legislative backing that he needs to do some of the things. A lot of it he is doing by legislative decree, and it appears that is working for the moment. It appears that the ability of experienced National Security Minister Patricia Bullrich to keep the protests from shutting down the economy, making them, protests as expression and not protests where you essentially block the streets and keep people from getting to work. And the attitudes of people seem to be at least cautiously that they're not only seeing progress, but Malay's message that, that what they're living now is in part because of the statist manipulation of the previous government, of which they are, somewhat sick and tired. So there's a willingness to kind of accept that message of why they're suffering what they are. And so the fact that you're beginning to see these little signs of progress helps to give people hope that their suffering is worth something, that they're working towards a better Argentina. So again, it's not over yet, but this inflation figure is a hopeful sign that things are moving in a positive direction for Argentina.
A photograph from Reuters shows men reaching into a garbage bin for rotten tomatoes. I understand they're all thrown away from, I guess there's street vendors, and they throw them away at the end of the day because they're not very appetizing to sell if you have fresh fruit and tomatoes. At the same time, following the inflation story, Argentina's child poverty rate could hit 70% in the first quarter of the year, according to UNICEF. The rate was rising fast, and it continues to rise, but those in extreme poverty could reach 34%, up from 19%, calling for more spending to protect the livelihood of children. How did this happen, Evan? Under the Peronistas, under Fernandez, this just didn't happen since Malay was elected. This is a rich country, very well educated. The colonial influence is clear. You can see the institutions are in place. Child poverty at 70%? Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't, John. And there's a combination of different factors, but that's often the lament of Argentines, of how does a country which is so rich in terms of land and agricultural production and mineral wealth, I mean, even things like lithium, oil, industry. Argentina has a pretty sophisticated manufacturing sector as well as pharmaceutical sector, just to name a few, even technology services. So how does a country get in that situation? It goes back years of cycles of boom and bust, but one of the undercurrents was that for years that Peronist populism tried to subsidize certain things. So there's a lot of money spent for these market distortions. People were consuming things at prices that were not what the market demanded for it. There were bloated government organizations. There were very well-paid union positions. Were not necessarily competitive industries. You had enormous inefficiencies from government regulation. You had taxes that were again oftentimes going to questionable things, but distorted the productivity of certain sectors. And then of course, in order to protect prices, you had the printing of more money, which created more and more inflation. You had the distortions of the exchange rate, which made it difficult for industries to get the things that they needed to produce. And so these type of distortions went on, essentially impairing the economy for years and years and years. And so inflation had been creeping up under the Peronists. There were accumulating deficits. You couldn't get the capital that you needed. And people didn't want to invest in Argentina. And so there was a relative lack of jobs, et cetera, et cetera. And so things were really at a crisis point fiscally, financially, in terms of the stagnation of the economy. There was a relatively bad harvest because of the drought last year. And so all of those had accumulated to make Argentina's the situation. However, when Milei came in, his shock therapy essentially really kind of pushed things over the top in the interest of getting things better. And so for example, just the cutting in half the value of the currency alone to basically stop a hemorrhage of Argentine savings towards the exterior caused the meant that everything that Argentines imported, and they imported a lot, now suddenly became twice as expensive. And so whereas poverty was previously in the 30-something percent range, it now jumped to almost 60% just because of that currency factor, and because essentially of the temporary stopping of the economy that occurred because of the strict austerity measures. Again, that's a temporary thing meant to bring inflation down. So if you don't do that, inflation reaches out of control. But when you essentially stop the economy, as we learned by COVID, that actually causes other things like unemployment and thus poverty to go up. And of course, child poverty, which is somewhat of an unusual figure, is a reflection of the fact that when you have some of the most vulnerable families and sectors with the responsible adults out of work. So the big picture is that essentially government mismanagement and artificial subsidies of an unproductive political class for decades was what got us to this point. But the most recent small tranche is because of that bitter medicine that Milei has imposed. But the good news, the hopeful news, is that as we saw from the inflation figures and increase in monetary reserves and things like that, it appears that bitter medicine at least is slowly beginning to work. So hopefully we are in the dark before the end of the storm and the light in at the end of the tunnel right now. But it's going to be some pretty rough couple months before we get to May or so, and hopefully some indications that those numbers are beginning to look better.
There's a photograph for Reuters of a young woman, young girl, 9 years old, filling a container of what is presented as fresh drinking water, although the surroundings are rust and ruin and walls scarred. And she's simply looking up as she does her job for her mom. 30 years from now, she's the voting public. What is she going to remember, Evan? This abandonment? Is that what we're 30 years from now? I'm gone. Is this what the future looks like in Buenos Aires? That remembering how they were abused?
Well, this is why this moment is so critical. And it depends entirely on whether Milei is able to succeed, with this experiment or not. Because frankly, if Milei fails, if protesters bring in the economy, you have another wave of radicalism and statist solutions, and Argentina continues in this, then those memories of suffering become a permanent scar and part of the ongoing legacy of Argentina, as we've seen since De La Rúa and Duhalde, back at the turn of the century. However, if the Milei experiment works and Argentina's economy is dramatically turned around and you get significant growth out of this, and Argentina begins to attract the investment that it's seeking, showing the value of individual initiative and free markets and getting away from government subsidies, then these are going to be remembered as the battle days. These are going to be remembered as the time in which Argentina emerged from its darkness, that will be looked back at nostalgia. Remember when things were that bad before we got to where we are today. And so at the end of the day, it's whether Milei succeeds or not will define not only the future, I think, of economic governance and the color of political power in Argentina, but also probably will have dramatic impacts on what is seen to work and what may be adopted or not adopted in the rest of the region in response to the grave problems that other countries in the region also continue to suffer.
Professor Abinellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We're headed to Panama, the critical Panama, for global trade and for governance in Central America. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.